Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
How's it going, guys? Welcome back to Strikeout Bros. This is episode 9. This is going to be a special edition episode, and we're going to be talking about how we feel that the MLB season is way too long, and we have proposals today. Lasha's going to have one. What's going on, Lash? How you doing?
What's going on, man?
And I have one, and we're going to figure out whose proposal, you know, was a little better and our thoughts on each other's proposals, based on the season being too long and how we're going to make it more exciting and shorter to keep people's attention, you know, attention spans going. You know, it's going to be an interesting episode. It's going to be fun to talk about, you know, opinions, you know, and what we think. And the funny thing about this is that we both wrote up these proposals and we didn't, you know, talk to each other about what we were thinking. So it's going to be news to me, news to him, you know? So it's going to be super interesting in that way. And we just want to, before we start, we want to talk about how me and Lasha met. And it's a very interesting story. You know, we met in New York and we both work in the medical field. And, you know, when I first met Lasha, I thought he was an interesting cat, you know? And we both figured out right away that we were into baseball. And, you know, he's a closet Met fan, you know, but he, you know, he grew up as a Baltimore Oriole fan. I believe his dad is a Yankee fan, but we'll discuss that a little later. And yeah, I grew up as a Met fan in the Bronx. My dad is a diehard Met fan. You know, he came down from Puerto Rico in the early 70s and, you know, found work. And he lived in the Bronx, but for some odd reason, I don't know, he was fascinated by the Mets. And he followed them and went to games, and you know, he turned me into a Met fan. You know how it is. You know, the apple never falls far from the tree. And you know, I grew up in the South Bronx, maybe 10 minutes away from Yankee Stadium. And the funny thing is that, you know, I was pretty much the only kid on the block wearing a orange and blue jersey. You know, so it was hard growing up, you know, because the Yankees always dominated, especially in the 90s when I was a teenager and I was able to, you know, really see what was happening out there in the streets, you know, especially in the South Bronx. But Lasha's a, you know, a diehard Baltimore Oriole fan, and Lasha ended up moving to Atlanta, still in the medical field, you know, and we're like brothers. We've known each other for over a decade now, and you know, me and Lasha always stay in touch, and we would have these amazing long conversations on the phone about baseball. Especially after he left, you know, it was all over the phone because obviously he was in Atlanta, I was in New York, and we were going to these long-ass phone conversations, longer than anybody else I talk to. I don't talk to anybody on the phone for over an hour, but with Lasha, it was really easy to, you know, talk and, you know, figure out what was going on in his life and vice versa because, you know, we were brothers and we're still brothers, and it's always fun talking to him over the phone about baseball. We get into these really long rants, and one day Lasha said, "Damn, bro, we should start a podcast. You know, this is very interesting." And every time we would get off the phone, we'd be like, "Wow, that was a really good podcast," and hang up, right? So eventually, you know, he said, "It's time, Pablo." And I said, "You know what? You're right." So we went out, we bought some equipment, and we decided that we wanted to, you know, spread our word and, you know, talk about baseball on the radio, you know, on the waves. It's kind of funny. It's I love the story, you know, and we're building, you know, this is a work in progress. We both had no idea how much work putting a podcast together was, and you know, we did a little bit of research, and we tried our best to make it happen. You know, like I said, it's a work in progress, and hopefully you guys are enjoying the show, episode 9, and you know, we're moving forward, and I hope that, you know, you guys feel that the podcast is growing after every episode. You know, I thank all the fans out there that have been, you know, tuning in on a weekly basis, and you know, I think we've come a long way. What are your thoughts on that, Lash?
Yeah, man, it's crazy. So I've known you for about 9 years now. We worked at a company in Brooklyn called TransCare EMS. They no longer exist. It's a non-emergency transport company, and they also did 911. But anyway, Pablo and I didn't have partners at the time. So the way it works, if for those of you who don't work on ambulance, you know, you get partnered with another person. And Pablo and I, we were partnered together one day. And, you know, when I first met Pablo, Pablo's a very quiet, reserved individual. He had his, you know, big North Face coat on. He's got his Beats headphones over his head. He didn't want to talk to nobody. He just is in his zone. And I was cool with it. I'm one of those people, if you talk, great. If you don't, I don't care. I can drive and do my job, you know. And one day, it was like middle of spring, and the Mets were playing a game. And I remember you asked me, hey, Lash, you mind if we put on the ball game? I said, yeah, of course, man. I love baseball. So we turned on the Mets game, and we were having a blast, and we were listening to the game. I think we even listened to the game with the patients in the back. But we had a blast, and we became that's how we got connected and found a liking to baseball. But so the way I became an Orioles fan is my family's from Virginia, and the first game I ever went to was at Camden Yards in Baltimore. This is probably like 99, maybe 2000. I went to a game. And, you know, at the time, the Nationals didn't exist. You know, my family, you know, I came from a large family. We didn't have a lot of money. So going to a ball game was like a dream. My grandmother, God rest her soul, she bought us tickets and allowed our whole family to go. We had a whole weekend at the Inner Harbor in Baltimore. And that's how I became a fan. And you know, they always say the way most kids become a fan is through the first experience. I'm sure you remember your first game, whether it be with your dad.
Yeah, it was definitely with my dad.
And that's how you usually fell in love with the team. Now, growing up, you know, we didn't have cable TV, and I had a radio, but I didn't start listening to radio until my family. We moved from Virginia to New Jersey, and, you know, we didn't have cable TV, and I liked to listen to baseball. And so my dad and I, you know, dad would put on the Yankees games because he's a big Yankee fan. And we would listen to the game. We didn't have cable TV, and I love listening to the game on the radio because it's something you can listen to in the car. We drive to the store together, or dad would have me mow the lawn and put on the game. Or if my dad was prepping dinner in the backyard on a barbecue, he's, hey, Lash, go get the radio. Let's put on the game. I said, okay, dad, sounds good. And, we have our bonding moments. And ever since, that's how I fell in love with baseball. And it's pretty amazing. But as far as Baltimore goes, you know, it's been for both of our teams. Both of our teams have not been good. I think my team, the last time they were like really good was probably like late 90, 91, 93, I think. Like they were really good. And the Mets, the last time they were in the World Series prior to 2015 was what?
2000.
Yeah, Yankees. 2000. I forgot about that Subway Series. So we've hit a lot of bumps and hills and good times and bad times, mostly bad times for both of our teams. A lot of misery, a lot of 100-plus loss seasons. And, you know, we talk on the phone like, this guy stinks, this guy's trade this guy, trade that guy. I want a new owner. And here we are 9 years later together. And for the first time in the years that we've known each other, we both have two new owners. The Mets have a new owner. And so do the Orioles. I don't know. And the Orioles ownership just got bought out this year. It's a combination of Cal Ripken and some other multi-billionaires. And the Mets got bought out by big Stephen Mets Cohen. Steve Cohen.
Yeah.
And the one thing both of our teams had in common is that we had cheap owners. They don't buy. They don't spend the money to get the players. And they had no way how to develop a farm system like the Yankees did and all these other teams, or Yankees necessarily didn't develop a farm system. They just brought the best players that were available, like the A-Rods of the world, the Roger Clemens, David Justice from the Braves, and all these guys that they, Tino Martinez from Seattle, where the Mets were just kind of like getting small pieces. You know, they finally got a superstar in David Wright. That took a while. I remember the great days of, you know, Carlos Delgado. I remember Mo Vaughn, Jose Reyes.
Exactly. You know, we had a good run in those years.
Edgar Renteria. Who else? Octavio. Yeah, you know.
I remember, you know, being a young Mets fan, or even going further back, you know, like the 1986 Mets. I was in Rockford. I was 10, you know, and I remember that team. My favorite player of all time is Gary Carter, man. He rest in peace. And I always thought, you know.
Great catcher.
He was a great catcher. Not only was he a great catcher, he was a great leader, all right? And he hit the ball really well, you know. He was a presence, you know. And I'll always remember him as a kid. You know, I always remember going out and saying, Gary Carter's up to bat, you know, as I was coming up to the plate, you know. And, he was the type of player that, you know, kids want to, you know, to wear his jersey and be him. You know, when we're kids, you know, you pretend to be, you know, one of these big stars. And he always stood out to me. I loved him as a player. You know, when he came over from the Expos, who are now the Washington Nationals, he was electric. You know, he came over and, you know, he was a veteran player and he was able to make the team better. He was one of those guys that could make your team way better than it was, you know. And, you know, we had Keith Hernandez, you know, he came over from St. Louis and he had a lot of experience. And then we had the young guys like Dwight Gooden, Daryl Strawberry, you know. And I remember those days. I remember, you know, being a proud Mets fan in the South Bronx. You know, I didn't care what the other kids were saying. I was a Mets fan, and I was a diehard. You know, my dad said, you're a Mets fan. And that's what I became. And here we are, you know. And it's funny because at this point in time in, you know, in MLB, I feel like we're both really close to a championship. You know, I think Baltimore's way closer because they, you know, it took them longer. They were able to develop a lot of players. They have a nice squad over there, and I like what I see, and hopefully that happens in Queens too, you know. But you know, today's episode is going to be interesting. Like I said, we're going to be talking about whether or not the season is too long, and we both have proposals, and let's see how it goes, Lasha. So let me explain something to you. Right, from 1876 to 1960, the schedule, it changed multiple times, right? From as low as 60 games to as high as 154. But then in 1961, that's when it changed over to 162. And that's what we have now, right? And it's been the case ever since, right? Except for the COVID season. I believe that was a 60-game season. But that was due to, you know, the pandemic. But for the majority of it, since 61, it's been 162 games. Now, we're going to have Lasha go first, and he's going to tell us why the season is too long and what his proposal is to make it more exciting. And you're up to bat, buddy. You're up to bat.
Yeah, so currently, as you know, we play 162 games in the season. That's a lot of games. A lot of teams, usually in the first months, a quarter of the teams in the majors are already out of the playoffs by the end of the first month, which is kind of sad. So I always wondered why they play so many games besides the point of money, because obviously every game you have, you know, you sell tickets. The more tickets you sell, the more food you can sell. You know, so it's a cash cow, essentially, having those games where other sports you have less games, like football, you have less games, but the prices to go to a ball game, you know, the prices to go to an NFL game are like double what they are compared to a baseball game. I could go buy $15 seats to go to see the Mets right now if I want to, no problem. Where if I want to go see the Giants or Jets play in New York, I'm gonna be spending at least $60 minimum, probably to go see a game and freeze my butt off and deal with the inclement weather.
A lot more people are tuning in, though, because, you know, it's a once-a-week affair, you know? And a lot of people make it their business to make sure they're off on that Sunday and, you know, they get together and it's more of a family thing than anything else, you know, because it's like, it's Sunday, my team is playing, let's go to the game, let's watch the game on the big screen, let's, you know, have a cookout. It's a different type of affair, you know. It's important to watch these games. There's only 17 games in a season, you know, versus 162 games. I'm not saying the season should be 17 games, but we need to, you know, dwindle the numbers down a little to make it a little bit more exciting, you know. That's just my opinion, but continue, Lash.
Yeah, so, you know, currently it used to be that you would play your division rivals 19 times. Well, now they dropped it down to 13 times because they want to make it so that you would play the interleague division teams more often. Whereas in the early 2000s, what they would do is all, for example, if you're a Mets fan, and you know, majority of your first half of the season, you would play all the NL teams first. And then when you got into like July, after the 4th of July weekend, they had what he called the interleague series games. So the first interleague series games was Mets versus Yankees, Chicago Cubs and Chicago White Sox, LA Angels, LA Dodgers, you know, Texas Rangers, so on and so on. So the only time you saw your National League team was in the summertime, midsummer, but it was only for like maybe like 2 weeks at best. Now they change it. So now you play the international teams any time of the year. It doesn't matter if it's the second half or first half. I kind of like the old school way because it makes it more exciting because, you know, back then it was really, you know, the rivalry was strong. We're like, yeah, we're going to play the Yankees. If you're a Mets fan, yeah, it's been a long time. Now we can compare how we're doing because, you know, the Mets always look down as the little brother to the Yankees and so on. So you always want to compare yourself. Wow, we took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees in the midsummer. You know, by then the Yankees are already probably in first place in the division. The Mets are either fighting for a wild card or not even in it. So it was always fun. And the rivalries was always renewed when you had the cross-town interlocking cross-town rival games, you know. But now they just combine all the games and you just, you know, 1 week you'll play the Pirates and next week you're back to playing the Philadelphia Phillies, so on and so on. So there's no longer really much of a rival. But they realize, I think baseball realized that, hey, we can get more money. You can get small market teams playing against big market teams in the early season, you know, things like that. So I think that's why they did it. You can go have Kansas City go play the Dodgers in L.A. or you can have the Dodgers come to Kansas City and they create revenue because, you know, a team like the Dodgers comes to a small market team like Kansas City. That's going to create some revenue for the fans for the organization.
But yeah, for sure.
That's probably one of the reasons why they did
it. Imagine, you know, you have Ohtani coming to, you know, to any park, you know, you're going to see an influx of Ohtani fans coming to the ballpark. You know, it's fun, you know, it's fun and it's interesting. It makes the game exciting, you know, because now at this point, you know, you have to play every single team in the league, you know? So this is how they're doing it now. But it's still too many games, in my opinion, you know? But go ahead. Why don't you start off with your proposal and tell us how many games you're interested in seeing and how you're going to break it up?
So my theory was this. You knock off 48 games. So you go from 162 games to 114 games. You'd play your division opponents 24 times total. Wow. What that means is you'd play basically 6 games against each team in your division. So, for example, the Mets would play the Atlanta Braves 6 times. So the first half of the season, you play your first 3 games in Atlanta, and the second half of the season, towards the end of the season, you play the Mets again back in New York. So you split up the reason why you would do that because, you know, first half of the year, maybe the team was hot. Now in the second half of the year, maybe the team has kind of gone down. So it's not as good as they were. So it makes it more interesting. Also, the reason for that is if it's a divisional race between 2 teams in the division who are fighting for that first spot in the division, then now you have the head-to-head, and it can determine who wins that division based on the last couple of games of the year against your division.
Like
so, 24 games, 6 games total, 3 away, 3 at home.
Okay.
And then the rest of the way, what I would do is I would play all the other teams since you have totally you have six divisions, but obviously you'd be playing against five other divisions. So against those five other divisions, you play the, each one of those teams three times. So in total, you play the AL West. AL East would play the AL West 15 times total. The AL East would play the NL East 15 times total. Basically, three games total. So the Braves would play the Mets. Excuse me. The Braves would play the Yankees three times, and that's it. Every other year, you rotate where they play. So this year, they play in the Bronx. Next year, they play in Atlanta, and so on and so on. So that so you have 24 games against the, your either NL East team or your AL East team, and then you have 90 games remaining against other non-divisional opponents.
I like it.
And that would leave you to 114 games. And then my also my solution would be to start the season in May because, you know, in April and March, you get a lot of the rain outs, you get a lot of cancellations. So to avoid those games getting canceled and rescheduled, let's start the season in, you know, mid-May. And it could still go into September and you could still be done by it'd still be done by October, hopefully. My other solution is that you get rid of the wild cards. No wild cards currently right now in the playoffs. It's a 10-team race, I believe, correct? 10 teams make the playoffs?
Yes, two wild cards and the three divisional winners. Yeah, you're correct.
That's so 10.
Five so, on five, yeah.
So what I would do is I'd make it a 12-team playoffs, and the top two teams from each division make it no matter what, unless the second team in your division has an under 500 record. With that, then you would pick the third best team in the non in the other division, whoever has a 500 record. So what that means with, for example, in the NL East, let's just say going off our current schedule, the Philadelphia Phillies and the Atlanta Braves are first and second in the yes. NL East currently. So what that means, both the Atlanta Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies would make the playoffs. In the AL East, you'd have the Yankees and the Orioles make the playoffs. In the NL West, you would have the LA Dodgers and the San Diego Padres make the playoffs as we as currently constituted. In the Central, you'd have the Milwaukee Brewers and the Chicago Cubs, and so on and so on.
And that's 12 so, teams. Gotcha.
That's 12 teams.
That's 12 teams.
No five-game series. 12. You'd have all the games would be seven-game series, no 12, no five-game series, ALCS, no five-games ALDS, or wild card. Well, the ALDS is five games. Now you make it seven.
Gotcha.
And then as far as rankings go, I would rank them. So, for example, I take the NL division, right? And whoever has the best record for each division, for that National League team. So if the best record right now, currently speaking, in the NL, in the whole National League, is the Philadelphia Phillies, right? So they would get the number one seed. And what I would do is the two number one seeds, one from the NL and one from the AL, they get to pick who they would want to play.
That's super interesting. So yeah,
yes.
Allowing the number one seed to pick their opponent. That's
but crazy. You have to be the number one seed in the whole division. You have to be the number one seed
in the whole,
National League.
In the whole league.
In the whole league.
Wow.
So I have to be your best team in the National League, and I have to be either be the best team in the American League, not the best team in the NL East or the AL East and so on.
Wow.
So, for example, the best team in the National League is the Phillies, and the best team in the American League is currently the Yankees. So the Yankees and the Phillies would get to choose who they would play in the first round matchup. Now, wow. The way you go down through, how do you go from two through so on? So after that, you go based on record. So who has the second best record in the NL? So the second best record in the NL would be the Dodgers. So they would get the two seed. Three seed would be Atlanta. Four seed would be Milwaukee, and then so on and so on. You know what I mean?
I got you. It's interesting. It's a different way of looking at it. It's funny how, you know, we're definitely, like I said, we didn't speak on what our proposals were to keep it interesting for the show. And we have similar ideas, right? But then they branch off. It's like a lot of forks in a row. But we, the foundation of what you were thinking and the foundation of what I was thinking is pretty similar. But continue, please. Very interesting. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, so you go based on that. And then you would have advanced. And whoever completed the year with the best record in the league, for example, if the Philadelphia Phillies finished with the best record in the National League, would get home field advantage all the way through up to the World Series, because the home field advantage would still be determined by whoever won the All-Star game. That's how I would do it.
Yeah, you still like that, huh?
Yep. So I would do that because you got to make the All-Star game a reason to watch. You got to make it something exciting.
I understand that.
So, for example, if the Philadelphia Phillies are the number one seed in the National League, all the games all the way up to the World Series would be at home. So they would get game 7 at home all the way through.
Got you. So they get game 1 and they get game 7.
1 and 7. And same thing with Yankees. The Yankees are the number one team in the American League. They get first game. All the games leading up to the World Series would be games 1 and 7 would be at home. And also what I would also go back to, I'd go back to the 2-3-2, because before, right now it's 2-2-1-1-1. It's just chaotic.
I don't like that either.
I don't like either. So what you do is you play your first two games at the that team, the higher seed, and you play the three straight home games at the lower seed. Mm-hmm. And then you come back to the number one seed or whoever has the higher seed back home.
I was always a fan of that. I love the 2-3-2. It made sense. So the home field advantage gets 4 games and the opposing team gets 3. But they get those 3 in the middle. So this way it's less chaotic, less traveling. You know, I like that.
Traveling is a key thing. Because, for example, right, if the Yankees are going to play the Dodgers in the World Series, going to the West Coast, to do that in a one-day span and then to play a game, that's a lot.
It's a lot. Even with the 1 day of rest that they get. Because, you know, these playoff games, let's say they play on a Tuesday, then they're not playing again until Thursday. You know, so they get that day in between. But at the same time, it's kind of crazy. I'd rather have 3 straight games at the opposing team, the lower seeds home, right? And let them play them straight out, right? So you get a rest in between, you know, going from stadium to stadium, and then you play straight out. You know, I think it's more exciting, and it keeps the fans going, you know?
And then the other solution I had, right, to avoid teams tanking on purpose to get the number one draft pick, right now it's a lottery system. So what I would do is I would take the two, I would have like a mini tournament at the end of the year for the two worst teams, right? And you say, all right, these are the two worst teams in the majors, and you're going to play a 3-game series, and whoever wins gets the number one pick in the draft. So even if the Mets had the worst pick, the worst record in the majors, and the Orioles had the second worst record to complete the season, they would play each other at the end of the season. And then, because you know how there's a couple days off before the playoffs start. So you start right away, 3-game series, and whoever wins gets the number one seed in the draft. So now what happens is it's less likely that you tank, because if you have the worst record, you're guaranteed to get the number one spot.
Seed. Yeah.
That's why Baltimore is good now, because they tanked for several years. They got the number one pick. But if you do it this way, it's not guaranteed that you're going to get the first pick, because now you got to duke it out on the field and got to win it. You know?
Wow.
So, wow. You know, for example, right? You know, Baltimore might have the worst record, right? But the second team has the second worst record, might have 10 more wins than the Orioles, right?
Yeah, understandable.
That team has 10 more wins than the Orioles, they could beat the Orioles in 3-game series. Now they get the first pick. So it's a way to avoid tanking and people trying to. And then after that, the draft falls as is. So you'd have, you know, Baltimore, Atlanta, and so on, you know, in order of the draft.
I got you. But it still doesn't, you know, stop the tanking in a sense, right? Because they can tank all year, right? And then they have to get to this position where they have to battle for that number one draft pick, right? So they can tank all year, but at the end of the year, they still have to fight for the number one pick, which is
so I had a solution to that. So here's what I would also do. If it is deemed that you are caught, if it is known that you are on purposely tanking for the season, you know, as you know, in baseball, it's shared revenue, right? So each team gets a certain percentage of the revenues that each team generates. You know, whatever the Mets generated for that year, you know, the Braves get some of that revenue and vice versa. So what I would do, if a team is caught, found to purposely tank, any revenue that they create for the following, for the next season, all that they lose all their revenues for that year, and it gets distributed out to the rest of the teams.
Oh my God. That sounds horrible.
So now it makes it harder because now you're not going to be able to get the free agents because you lost all that revenue because you tanked on purpose. So money, you know, money talks, you know, and nonsense walks, you know what I mean? So there's a price to pay. So now on my own, not only am I losing the first pick in the draft, I'm also going to lose money. So if you're a small market team like the Pittsburgh Pirates or the Kansas City Royals, you know, that's, you lose all that money. You're not going to be able to sign anybody. And if you have a free agent that you want, if one of your own players is a star and you want, like, for example, if Bobby Witt Jr. on the Royals is a free agent and they're predicting that at the end of the year they want to sign him, now they might not be able to re-sign him because they don't have the money because they lost that money because all that money got distributed for losing on purpose. So there has to be a penalty for losing. And that penalty was you lose all revenue earnings. So and also what that also means is you don't get any revenue back from the other teams either. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you get
severe
nothing.
Severe punishment.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea, money, because you, and I think you have been more competitive. Also, that's why I like the idea of reducing the games, because now you have teams that are lasting longer. And
yes,
it, as the season goes, the division race is going to be tighter. So yes, every game is going to matter. You're really going to try.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with that. I totally do. I mean, that sounds super interesting, Lasha. Like, you came up with a completely different way. And not only did you come up with a different way, you were able to, like, stop the nonsense around the league as well. Like you said, the tanking and the revenue sharing and all that. You were able to, you know, find a way to get around that as well. That's interesting. That's some real smart thinking, you know? But now I'm going to give you my proposal. My proposal is going to be 99 games, right? You went with 114. I went 99. And 99 games includes, right, two three-game series against your division, right? So that means, you know, if you're the Mets, you're playing a three-game series at home against Atlanta, and then you have to go to Truist Park and play a three-game series over there, right? And then after that, you play every other team in the whole league in a three-game series. That equals 99, all right? So you get, and to, you know, go a little further, the three-game series against everybody else in the league, you know, we're going to alternate the stadiums every other year, all right? So, for example, if Casey comes to Citi Field to play a series against the Mets this year, then next year we're going to the Royals, and we're going to play a series over there. So there'll be no, oh, but, you know, we played at their home, and we didn't get to play in our home. No, next year it's going to happen over there, so don't worry about it. So 99 games, two three-game series against everyone in your division, and then you're going to have a three-game series against everybody else in the league, all right? So I don't like the wild card either. So the top team from every division is going to get to go into the playoffs, right? And the fourth team is going to be based on record. So the best record after the three divisional winners is going to go into the playoffs as well. So that's going to create an 18 playoff, right? So those games, they're all going to be best of seven. Okay, so it eliminates the wild card series. It eliminates all that nonsense to me, you know? Because I don't feel like a team that 170 games should be competing in the playoffs, you know? So by making the season shorter, teams that aren't able to compete in the long run can maybe have a good run and stay afloat. Okay, so 99 games. This is what I'm proposing. Get it to the playoffs. It's a best of seven. Now, I agree with you when it comes to the season starting in May. This way, all the teams on the East Coast, you know, don't have to worry about the cold conditions. They don't have to worry about rain. They don't have to worry about any of that stuff. You know, you start the season in May, and then, you know, you work it out that way. And now, this is where it gets interesting. This is my proposal, right? So instead of having a spring training period, right, I want to do a tournament. And I want it to be similar to, like, the World Baseball Classic, right? So now, you know, these guys are, you know, coming to spring training, and, you know, they want to focus on their dynamics, and they want to focus on their, you know, their development, right? They want to develop these players. They want to make sure that they're ready for the season. So this is a perfect way to do it, by competing, you know? So you're going to keep the same structure, right? It's going to be the same divisions, right? But you have to play three games with everyone in your division, right? And then after you're done with that, the team with the best record is automatically going into the playoffs, right? And then once again, no wild card. So the fourth best team that we need to create a playoff situation is going to be the team with the best record. Now, if there's multiple teams, right, that have the same record to try to qualify for that fourth slot, then we're going to go into team average, okay? So let's happen to say that, you know, okay, the Mets make it in the National League East, and then Chicago makes it, and then the Dodgers make it, right? So now the fourth best record is going to be based on wins, right? But if those two teams have the same record, right, and they're qualifying into the playoffs, we're going to look at team average. And that team average is going to decide whether or not you go into the playoffs. So it's going to be short and sweet, you know, because you're playing three games against everybody in the division, right? So that tallies up to 12 games. So whoever has the best record in each division is going to the semifinal. And then the fourth team is coming out of best record situation, and if they're tied, we look at average, team average, right? Now, those games in the semifinal will be a 3 out of 5. And then we go from there. And when we do the final, which is going to be American versus National, it'll be a best of 7. And whoever wins that is going to have a trophy, obviously, and home field advantage in the World Series. So like you said, you were worried about, you know, the All-Star game not being important. Well, let's make it fun for the fans. Let's make it a situation where they come to see all the stars go out and play a game of baseball and they can have fun. But we can't make that game exciting because these guys never take the game seriously. You know, it's all fun and laughter and all that. But this little tournament is going to change things. It's going to make them want to play hard because it's going to create home field advantage for their league, right? Now, all the teams that get eliminated after that, they go back to their camps and they can play inter-squad games until the season starts. And this is my solution to making the season a lot more interesting and shorter and fun to watch.
No, I definitely like it. The thing I like about it is that even if you're tied in the division with the same best, let's say the Mets and the Phillies have the same records and they're both well above 500, one of those two teams could not make the playoffs, might not make the playoffs, even they have a good record, just because, you know, one team is batting 350 and the other team is batting 352. So it makes it very, very interesting. I kind of like that idea.
Thank you. You know, I thought about it. I was trying to make it interesting. I think that spring training is too long. You know, they play like close to 30 games during spring training, but nobody's really watching that stuff now. You created a tournament around it. People would really tune in, you know? So not only does that bring revenue to, you know, the owners, you know, and it compensates for the shorter season, it makes it fun for the fans, you know?
And that's what it's about. You want, because baseball, they're saying, is a dying sport. You know, it's so hard. Football is the king of the world in this country. And you got to you know, baseball is one of the sports where you got, you know, football, there's constant action all the time. Baseball, there's not. So it's about keeping people's attention. You know, how can you keep people engaged in the game? How can you get people engaged in the season? Currently, the way it is, if you're a team like the Cincinnati Reds or, you know, or somebody that's not doing well, it's like, why am I even going to bother watch the season? I already know how the outcome. Or the Chicago White Sox, perfect example. They have the worst record in the majors. I guarantee, if I was a fan, because I used to be like this, I'd stop watching. Like, I'd stop caring. Like, I'm maybe going to make the effort to watch, you know, my team play. If I'm already, what, 12-plus games under 500 and it's the end of May, it's just not even worth it.
Yeah, season's over. Exactly.
Exactly.
Season's over for your team. So why are you tuning in? You know, prior to, you know, putting this podcast together with you, it was funny. Like, I wasn't watching other teams play. I didn't care for them, you know. I watched what was in front of me, you know. So if the Mets
were playing, it's a very regional sport, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I would watch the divisional games. I would watch what's in front of me. Whoever the Mets were playing, that's who I was watching. Now, you know, all over the place. I'm watching Pittsburgh. I'm watching all types of different teams play, and it's fun because I want to, you know, I want the knowledge. I want to learn. I want to see what's going on around the league. I want to see these prospects coming up, you know. Before, I didn't know what was going on. So, for example, on our last episode, we just finished talking about Paul Skeens, right? And we talked about how electric he is. I would have never known about that a year ago because I wouldn't be in tune, you know. So, it's interesting. I think that your proposal was great. I love my proposal, you know, because of course I put it together, but that's besides the point, you know. I think that, you know, we both had very great points, and I believe that we made the game of baseball a lot more interesting, you know, with these proposals. But they're never going to listen to us, obviously, because it's all about money and generating money. And imagine, I just cut the season short by 63 games. You know how much money we're talking about? You know how much hot dog money we're talking about? You know how much beer money we're talking about? You know how many tickets we're talking about?
Nacho hats. You know, those big hats that give you with the nachos. And
of
like,
course.
You know, or New York, so at Yankee Stadium, they have those fried chicken buckets. It's like a pound of fries and then maybe it's like 12 tenders, but it's like $25. I'm sure they have that city feel. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So if you're going to shorten the season, guess what? There's a price to pay for the fans. They're going to have to increase the cost of the food in the stadium and the prices to go to these games. Now, problem is if you do that, are you going to get more people showing up to the games?
I think so. Especially, I think it'll fill up the stadium a lot if it's less games. So
it's less games. If it's good teams, yeah. But if your team like Kansas City Royals or, you know, the Miami Marlins or the White Sox, no one's going to go out to go, hey, what are you doing today? Want to go to Chicago? No, I'm going to stay home and watch something else. You know, the playoff, you know, there's basketball going on, hockey. Why am I going to trek myself out to the cold in Chicago to watch my Cubs, who are all, you know, whatever the case may be, the White Sox, who are horrible.
We both have the season starting in May. You know, like we said, all those, you know, cold cities that, you know, don't get warmer weather till way later. This is an advantage for them as well. You know, think about it. You know, the fan base doesn't show up to these stadiums early on in the season because they already know. And if they have done it in the past, they won't do it again because it's brutal. I've been to City Field in April, and guess what? You have to bring your coat. All right, because the stadium is always 20 degrees colder than it is outside.
Yes.
So imagine, let's say you get a cold day like, you know, like a April 24th, right, where it's still cold out there and it's like 40 degrees. So you get into the stadium, now we're talking about 20s. These players aren't comfortable. They can't give you their all. Pitching is horrible because these guys are on the mound. They're freezing their asses off. And, you know, it's not the same, you know. They call it the summer classic for a reason, right? So let's make it happen. Let's make it happen for all you owners out there listening, you know. But
I have one more solution too, right? As far as determine, you know, every year they pick who gets the All-Star game. So who gets to represent? Who gets to hold the All-Star game? Host the All-Star game for the weekend. So what I would also do, whoever finished with the best record, whoever won the World Series, the following year gets also the home field, gets the All-Star game at home. So if the New York Mets won the World Series, the following year, the All-Star game is played at Citi Field.
No, that would be horrible, I think. You know why? Because there's a lot of teams. Because a lot of teams that, you know, always come back. All right, for the last couple of years, we haven't had repeat offenders. You're right about that. There hasn't been like a repeat offender that won the championship multiple times in a row. But let's go back. You know, like imagine when the Yankees won. You know what? They won three in a row, four in a row, something crazy like that, right? Did they do that? I'm not 100% sure, but I remember them being, you know, up there multiple times in a row. But you're right. For the last couple of years, it's been different. It hasn't been the same, you know, repeat offender winning the World Series back to back to back. We haven't seen that in a very long time. So, okay, so that makes sense. That makes sense. But at the same time, all these, you know, bottom barrel, you know, bottom feeders will never get a chance to host, you know? So, I don't know.
Maybe yeah, that's true.
You know?
You got to give everybody a fair chance.
You know, you got to give everybody a fair chance. So, that doesn't give everybody a fair chance because, you know, everybody has different type of, you know, pockets. Some pockets are deeper than others. And, you know, you build a team that, you know, can definitely make it to the postseason no matter what due to how much money you spent. So, I'm falling on that one. But we can do, you know, we can just run down the list. You know what I'm saying? We can go from division to division and we can say the Mets hosted. Well, guess what? The Mets can't host again until everybody else got a shot. You know what I'm saying? So every year it'll change and it'll be a different team. There's 30 teams. So the Mets did it in the year 2000. Then they can't do it again till the year 2031 or 2030. You know what I'm saying? Because it's
29 other teams.
Yeah, exactly. 29 other teams. So you get a shot to do it like that. You know? So everybody, even though your team sucks, gets a chance to see all the stars together in on one field, you know, enjoying each other and having fun, you know, versus making that game count, you know, as home field advantage in the World Series because we're going to be using the Spring Training Classic to, you know, the Spring Training Tourney to decide who gets home field advantage in the World Series, you know. But, man, that when I was writing up the proposal, I was thinking to myself, oh, my God, you know, this sounds so much, it sounds like fun, you know. But it's never going to happen. At least we still have the Baseball Classic every 4 years, you know. And that's always fun to watch, you know. I like it. I like the structure. And I think it's fun for the fans. And, you know, it's fun to root for your country and to root for your players, you know. So, but I would like to see that implemented into the MLB as well, you know. It's like a little short tourney prior to the season. Not only does it give the players time to develop their skills, it's, you know, it's a good, fun time. But we're coming to the end of the show. I enjoyed talking to you about these proposals, and that was really, really fun. It was one of my favorite episodes as of yet, you know. I think that we came through with some really good information, and I enjoyed myself today.
No, that was fun. It was interesting. We both came up with really cool ideas to make the season even more interesting with less games. And that's the ultimate goal because people would say, well, if you take away more games, how the storylines might change. It might not be as exciting and all that. But with this proposal, I think it makes it more intense, makes it harder, makes you teams really have to, you know, try their best, you know, to, you know, make the season, you know, whatever it becomes. So, yeah, I like it. Your proposal is great, and I highly doubt it. I guarantee we'll see more games added on than we will less games added on. I can guarantee you that.
That's horrible. That's horrible. So we're going to have these players playing with Colts? I don't know. Like, you know, like I said, the East Coast has it the worst. All right. Granted, if you're in L.A., yeah, the weather's always beautiful. And, you know, you guys can play your hearts out. And, you know, I think that's a lot of the reasons why these clubs end up, you know, on top of the division early on. Because it's easier to play there than it is on the East Coast, you know. So something has to give, all right. So if you're putting domes on every single stadium out there, 30 domes, you know, it's going to take away from the game as well. You know what I'm saying? Because there's nothing better than going out on a Sunday afternoon, a 1 o'clock game, and that sun is shining and hitting you nice and hard and seeing these players on the field, seeing the sun shining. You know, a dome, it takes away from that. You know, I don't know. You know, something about being out there in the sun and enjoying a nice little game. I don't know. But.
Yeah, well. Definitely I disagree, but I disagree because by having a dome, you know, you can open up domes. They do it in Seattle. They do it in Miami. So yeah, I understand what you mean. It's not the same feeling, but you would get rid of rain delays. You'd get rid of, you know, rescheduling games and reshuffling and, you know, seasons extended because they had to make up a game that was supposed to be played in May. You know what I mean? Now they're making it up in September. You know, it's kind of silly, yeah, but.
I see what you're saying, too. I see what you're saying. But, you know, I'm glad you guys are, you know, out there supporting. And we're going to try to keep them coming. All right? You guys have a good night.
Sounds good, man. Good stuff, man. I'll see you later.
See you later, brother.